You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program to put some money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network as the countdown to kickoff is on. The Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers throw down this evening in what, let's be real, is a pretty crap-ass football game. But since we're all degenerate gamblers and degenerate fantasy players, we will be watching, betting, and playing this crap-ass football game this evening. So why not break it down? I sound like Dana White. Hey, if anybody cares, the Lions are playing the Packers tonight. I'm just saying. You know what? I care because I got a couple of props. We're going to attack this football game. Steve Merrill's going to step up in it. Steve Merrill always cares. Steve Merrill will join us as he does every Monday. Paul Bovey's going to step up in it. We're going to talk basketball. We got an NBA triple header on tap this evening. The Golden State Warriors laying 15.5 points in the visitors. The Miami Heat. Total's 224. We got an opinion on that basketball game. Nobody knows the NBA better than betting basketball than Mr. Paul Bovey. I understand Bovey's already pulled the trigger. You know, when we talk about the guys that pull the trigger early in the week on these games and they move numbers, I understand Paul Bovey dropped a big bomb last night in Las Vegas, Nevada, on a college football game. We'll find out if he's going to share it with us. I'm working on a diabolical CFL cocktail right now in my own right. CFL playoffs starting this Sunday. And you know what? There's only nine teams in the league. Pretty much everybody makes the playoffs. But when you're playing futures, if you're good at math, which I am obviously not, as we all know, my money management skills are lacking. And speaking of skills lacking, Bill O'Brien's coaching skills definitely lack, as well as the Houston Texans managed to lose to the Indianapolis Colts. And yeah, I get it. Deshaun Watson isn't there, but that's not an excuse. And it seems to be an excuse for every coach in the National Football League. Well, don't expect me to win, man. My quarterback's not here. You know, the modern NFL, a crap-ass NFL, we should say. But a modern NFL in which players celebrate despite being down 21 points because, God forbid, they made a play. Nobody knows how to tackle anybody anymore. As I think we've reached a new low, but every time I think we've reached a new low in the NFL, I watch another NFL football game, which leads us into another edition of Who Ruined Your Sunday? Well, I really don't even know where to start here. Let's just come out and say, the NFL ruined my Sunday. The NFL has been ruining my Sundays every damn Sunday this year, for the most part. I've been watching NFL football since 1977. I can't remember more putrid and pathetic football that I watch on a daily basis. If I have to watch that douchebag millennial Verizon dude walk in and on Odell Beckham press conference again, pretty sure it's the strike zone, man. No, it's not the strike zone. It's not the strike zone. That's a great idea. Let's make a commercial and see it. Let's try to annoy people as much as possible. I don't like that commercial. And I don't like that guy. All right. I don't like the NFL. So where do we start? Let's start off with the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, Atlanta Falcons. Rise up, huh? Well, evidently, you guys need some freaking Viagra, man, because you ain't rising anywhere. You're sinking. You're gone south. That's not rising. You know, the NFL, they say, is like a religion. And it kind of is, because you go every Sunday and you just throw money around. So here's the Atlanta Falcons here. What do we got? 200 here. Yeah, good job, guys. Good job. There you go. Take my money. Take it all, Atlanta. You know you're screwed when Julio Jones is dropping footballs. Hey, Sarkisian, you should be coaching a Mountain West football team. You should be up there in the booth having a damn drink and get the hell out of my life. The Atlanta Falcons blow, all right? They blow. I don't know why they throw the football, you know. It's third and inches. Let's throw the football 40 yards down the field in the drizzle and the rain. Matt Ryan hasn't completed a pass since the damn first half of the Super Bowl. The Atlanta Falcons ruined my Sunday. What a shock. The Falcons blow a double-digit lead. I can't believe that happened. Great job by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hey, I'm Dirk Cutter. I'm a stupid idiot. Dude looks like a pharmacist. Yeah, he looks like a pharmacist. Hey, sir, can I get some Viagra for the crap-ass Falcons? Yeah, sure thing, son. Dirk Cutter. You're cut, Cutter. You know what? I'm not stupid enough to bet on Jameis Winston. Hey, here's my Jameis Winston impression.
Well, I'm Jameis Winston. Hey, let's win the game, guys.
Even his teammates are standing there going, dude, we're screwed. You bet on it, dude.
Hey, last night, let's win the game.
And a great pregame speech there, Jameis. Great punch, too. What'd you do? Poke, little poke in the back of the head there? You know, I'm not dumb enough to bet on Dirk Cutter or Todd Monken, okay? I might be stupid. I'm a middle-aged, white, bald guy, but I'm not that stupid. But I bet on Drew Brees to go over 25 and a half completions. You know, he had 22. Probably would have went over the number. That is if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers didn't score 3 points. There's another couple of hundred for you. You're into the plate of the NFL. Here you go, Goodell. Got to get your $44 million somehow. There's another couple of hundred for you. Didn't bet on the Texans. Hey, Bill O'Brien, I think your time is out. You know, Bill O'Brien's big claim to fame is, I don't know, he mopped up the bathroom at the Patriots facility once, like Josh McDaniels. You suck, all right? You managed to lose with Deshaun Watson somehow. Oh, it's not your fault you lost, right? Tom Savage, you mean the same Tom Savage that you've been grooming for the last 3 years? Great job, you quarterback guru. All right, leads us into the Miami Dolphins. You guys are just a bunch of gutless, disgraceful punks, all right? It's an embarrassment you play at a stadium called Hard Rock, because Hard Rock is good music. You should play an adult contemporary stadium. Kenny Loggins Arena. Adam Gase. Where's the hat here? Look at this. I'm Adam Gase.
I'm the head coach of a football team, but I'm going to wear my hat so low because I'm freaking embarrassed because my team sucks so hard. Look at that. Well, let's give Jay Cutler $10 million.
Here you go. Better pay Cutler's salary. Here you go, guys. Here's some more money for you. We're making it rain. Every Sunday, come to the church of the NFL. Take our money. Hard Rock Stadium. The Miami Dolphins are softer than a Maroon 5 song. Adam Gase is one of these douchebag offensive coordinator types that has, oh, I got 400 plays. Too bad my plays can't be executed. The coolest thing the Miami Dolphins have done all year is do cocaine with hookers. And you fired the guy for it. That's the best thing you've done all year. That's the best. Your biggest accomplishment of the year is doing cocaine off a hooker's ass. And you fired a guy for it. Hey, Jay, we don't like Jay Giant. All he does is try to score touchdowns. Yeah, why not, Miami? I've said it before and I'll say it again. People in Florida shouldn't be allowed to vote. All right. What would a hooroo on your Sunday be without the Cincinnati Bengals? It's not even funny anymore. You know, when I saw that Leonard Fournette was out of this game, getting 6 points against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Bengals are in a good spot. Bengals are in a good spot. I'd rather have that dude, that new Good Life doctor. You know, that new TV show doctor? Yeah, put him in instead. Put him instead. Marvin Lewis, like, really? At this point, Marvin Lewis, why don't you just resign? Now, normally I'd be ripping Andy Dalton at this point in time. It's not really Andy Dalton's fault that A.J. Green decides to punch someone in the face with a helmet, real bright. He did go to an SEC school, so I'm not expecting him to be too smart. You know, no, he's not too smart in me. Take the rest of it. What did I lose on that? 600? There you go. You know what? Next Sunday, I'm going to go to a strip club and get a freaking lap dance instead of getting screwed by the NFL. Who ruined your Sunday?
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyrotor.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Television Network continues. I am Gabriel Renzi. We are live, but barely, after another crap-ass weekend of NFL football. Wrapping up the numbers. Favorites were to play yesterday, 8-4 straight up. Favorites were 6-4-2 against the spread. 7 unders, 5 overs. I don't know if weather is going to be a factor tonight, but it's cold tonight. It's basically freezing. So we're going to have our first real cold temperature game. And I'm always baffled by this, is to you get the Detroit Lions and the Minnesota Vikings. Two teams that, you know, you figure would be good cold weather teams. They're not. And to me, like, how the hell can you be a cold weather city team and suck outdoors? Well, you're playing a dome. I don't know. Practice outside then. Here's a novel concept. Don't play in a damn dome. Anyways. All right. Paul Bovey's going to join us. I understand Paul's fired up. He got a big college pick he's already put in. Got some NBA basketball tonight. Jason Braddock will join us, as we'll rip Bill O'Brien. He'll join us from Houston. Steve Merrill bats leadoff. ProSportsInfo.com. One of the covers experts. What's going on, Steve?
It's 37 degrees right now in Green Bay, and it's like 80 degrees on the East Coast.
Yeah, I'm sweating like crazy right now. I went to the Bills-Jets game the other day. I didn't wear a jacket. Like, I didn't need one. It was like, it was that balmy.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I talked to a new client from Calgary on Friday, and he was saying he was going to go out and shovel snow afterwards. And I know it was 80 degrees in Virginia, and I remember you saying it was like 80 degrees in Toronto that day as well, and he was shoveling snow in Calgary on Friday.
Yeah, I wore my winter jacket out yesterday because my courtyard gets cold. I don't get a lot of sun. So I get deceived, Steve, with my balcony and the winds and stuff. And I saw everyone going to the soccer game, TFC, in my condo, and they weren't wearing much. I had like a winter jacket with a hood on. I said, hey, it's gonna be pretty cold at stadium. I saw this chick just wearing like a scarf. She goes, no, it's like, you know, she goes, it's very nice out. what are you talking about? I'm sweating like crazy after. Yeah, I don't know, man. You know, it's hard to say that global warming isn't real, Steve. I mean, come on. I mean, at this point, winters don't even exist anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, we definitely have in warmer temperatures, but I think like 500 years ago, the same thing happened apparently as well. The problem with the whole, 100 degree, increase. I mean, the thing is, we only have like 100 years of real samples. We don't know what's happened for the last million years and if we've had cycles like this before. And
it's a good point.
Who knows? Yeah.
That's my take on that. You can't blame a GM plant for killing the dinosaurs. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, my gut feeling like yours is that that's probably not good for the atmosphere, like carbon dioxide, the smog is probably not good.
No, it's not good. I completely agree.
How much it's really causing this, we don't necessarily. I think some of that maybe is a little overblown, but we don't know for sure. But, yeah, my theory is it's probably not helping.
I completely agree with you. There's a larger phenomenon at work, and it's,
right.
Yes, it's a bigger picture. But at the same point in time, we basically are starting fires, and you know what I mean, at the same time. So you're right. We're not helping, but there is a bigger picture there.
Hey, by the way, Gabe, I got a great – I need to write this idea down. I occasionally get good ideas, but all these forest fires in California the last couple months – with all the technology we have now, why can you not have just drones going over the state all fall long? And the minute they see any kind of smoke, they just go in there and they drop the water before it becomes like a huge, 5-acre blaze. I don't know. That's just my 2 cents on the forest fire thing.
They like to use their drones for killing people.
Yeah, in California they don't.
Warman says taxes in my ear. See, you always think differently, Warman. When you say taxes, I'm thinking bombs. Like, all their drones are busy right now dropping bombs on people, Steve. Come on. I don't know. Like,
that as well.
Yeah, no, I always wonder that, too. Like, same thing, like Puerto Rico. They still don't have power. It's like, I don't know, like when they have a riot in Ferguson, the army shows up right away. Yeah, there's no people in Puerto Rico without power. They don't. There's a lot of stuff in the world, Steve, that, why don't they do? But that's a very good idea, Mr. Merrill. It's like Kramer's maritime bladder system.
Yeah, I wanted to get it on record. It's not like I can make money with it because it would help people.
Yeah, you can't copyright this idea either, right? You're not saying exactly.
Maybe every show I'll start doing with my good ideas, so if someone steals it, I'll have it on like video proof that, it was mine first.
Steve Merrill's tip
I've got
to
another
save
good
the world.
One I'll throw out. Salt and pepper in the same shaker because I was eating corn the other night. I put the salt on, I put the pepper on. I was like, why not just mix them together? And I don't know if that exists. It might. It might be out there already.
Yeah, Subway restaurants, salt and pepper. I think they mix it.
That's true. They do that. You're right. And that's a big franchise.
And they always put too much, but that's besides the point. I always regret it when I tell them this. I'm like, man, like really? Like, you're not supposed to put the whole, like, you know. All right, so how'd you do in the NFL yesterday, Steve?
NFL was actually good, 3-1. And the one loss I had was the Broncos getting blown out. But the two wins I had in the afternoon was the over in the Rams-Giants game. The Rams went over the total by themselves by 10 points. And it was over by early third quarter, which you just got to love. And I had the Colts outright. And I know you just talked
nice
about
pick.
O'Brien. I'll tell you what, it's unbelievable how good Deshaun Watson was. And I was hoping maybe that was the case. And it worked out for me yesterday because that offense is terrible once again.
Yeah, but, you know, their whole team is terrible. I mean, Bill O'Brien's an idiot. He's a horrible coach. He's got to go. I'm so sick of these coaches with the excuse that their starting quarterback wasn't there. Yeah, the same guy that you didn't even name starter 6 weeks ago, right? Like Bill O'Brien.
They were terrible without him, though. They were terrible in those first 2 weeks without him, don't forget.
No, well, my point is Deshaun Watson's their team.
Sure.
Bill O'Brien needs to go. You know, Deshaun Watson deserves better than that clown as a coach. So speaking of clowns, you got McCarthy. I don't need Kaepernick. I've got 3 years invested in Hundley. 88 yards later and three interceptions later. He's got Hundley tonight. Coming out of a bye, you know, Brett Hundley was a good quarterback at UCLA. And I can't lie, I liked him coming into the NFL. I didn't think he was a future star, but I thought, yeah, this is a kid that can play in the NFL and, you know, be a backup in the NFL. He was in a tough spot against Minnesota. I guess a tough spot against the Saints, not really, but he's had a freaking bye week right now. The numbers aren't pretty. Let's just be real. The numbers haven't been pretty. He was 12 of 25 for 87 yards against the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you completely. I thought the Minnesota game was kind of, you know, you really couldn't read too much into that because he came in off the bench first quarter. But the New Orleans game was, you know, a mediocre defense at home with a week to prepare. They were 12 for 25, 79 total passing yards in the game as a team. Not a good sign. Now, the one X factor, like you just said, Gabe, is the bye week, and that could be a big thing. But he's been so below average so far in the regular season appearances that I don't know. He did have decent numbers in the preseason. He had a quarterback rating in the mid-80s, but keep in mind a lot of that came against backup defenses. So, you know, those numbers probably should have been higher as well. It's a barometer I use a lot. In fact, I use it in baseball. You know, a guy's in AAA and then he goes to the majors. I always like to look at his AAA numbers, but you always have to kind of take 20 or 30% off of it because it was against minor leaguers. Same thing with the, you know, backup in the preseason. He was against second teamers. I'll never forget, I used that for a best bet on Tom Brady's first start back in what was it, 2000, 2001, and he had torn it up in the preseason. Bledsoe got hurt. He came in, never missed a beat, but it doesn't look the same for Hundley.
I remember Colt Brennan lit it up in his first Redskin appearance, went right down the field.
Yeah.
In the preseason came Hawaii quarterback. The poor Colts getting cut by the L.A. Kiss on TV years later. You know, here's a number, but I don't know what it means because they're different teams. But at the same point in time, you know, over the last 26 years, Steve, the Lions have won in Green Bay once. All right?
That's incredible. Now they're favored.
Yeah, so they've had 26 games, and I'm thinking, okay, well, what does that mean? Well, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers didn't start every one of these games for the last 26 years. You know, like
pretty
basically.
Close, though.
Yeah, I guess. Rodgers been around, what, 7, 8 years now? 8 years?
Yeah, but Favre's been around since the early 90s, which was 25 years ago, so it's pretty close.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
The Lions just suck.
The only reason would have been if one was injured.
The Lions suck on the road. That's just the gist of it, but
yeah.
This is an ugly game tonight, Steve. It's really it's a tough game tonight. What's your lean? I'm kind of leaning with the under, but it's hard to bet an under 42.5. Well, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think the Packers probably shouldn't be a home dog here, but if Hundley plays as bad as he has, they should be. I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers isn't worth 10 points or whatever the line adjustment was for that New Orleans game. They went from like a 6-point favorite to a 4-point dog, but he's worth 6 or 7 points, and then compared to an average quarterback, and then Hundley's 2 or 3 or 4 points worse than an average quarterback. So it is about a 10-point line adjustment. So they go from being, you know, maybe a 7 or 8-point favorite now to a 2-point dog. It's just that bye week. You get a feeling that it's going to help things. I do think McCarthy's a good coach, and I think he can use that to his advantage. The under is interesting, Gabe, because Hundley's been terrible, and I don't think he's going to light it up all of a sudden. So if you think the Packers have a chance of covering, you might be better off with the under because it'll probably be a very conservative run-based offensive tack with a lot of short passing so he doesn't get in trouble.
And, you know, what's interesting about the dynamic of this is if you're Green Bay, it'd be nice if you could just run the football. And Aaron Jones is a pretty good running back. But the Detroit Lions have been pretty good against the run this year. They're only giving up 3.6 yards per rushing attempt, yet they give up 7.9 per passing attempt.
Yeah.
Yet can Huntley take advantage of that? Not to mention the weather, Steve. I didn't see overwhelming winds, but nevertheless, it's a night game, Monday night. It's already just barely above freezing there right now. It's going to be a cold night there at Lambeau tonight.
Yeah, the wind's going to be 3 miles an hour is what they're predicting, so it shouldn't be an issue. The temperature is going to be 33 at game time with the wind chill. It's going to feel like 31. So it's going to feel like zero, basically, you know, zero Celsius for the entire game. And that's not terrible, but when it's early November and it's been 80, at least on the East Coast, it probably hasn't been out of the Midwest or Detroit or Green Bay, but it still hasn't been in the 30s probably. It's going to be a little more unusual, especially at nighttime. And then, like you said, Detroit's always used to playing indoors. They've never been a good road team for that reason. It's an ugly game here, and it's just a lot of uncertainty. And as you know, I'm not a big fan of uncertainty when money's on the line.
All right. So we're getting some big info from the boys in the booth. They're paying attention today, Merrill. Since 1992, Rodgers and Favre started every damn game against the Lions.
Except one.
Seneca Wallace, Iowa State.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was going to say it would have been injury because Favre has played since 92, so that's about right.
He's still playing in the Wranglers Football League now, the Wranglers Gene Commercial League.
I'll tell you right now, if he was healthy and at full speed, he probably wouldn't be any worse than Huntley right now. Might be better.
I can't disagree, or a couple other guys, to be honest with you.
The Broncos might disagree. Boy, are they hurting.
Yeah, they're a joke. What a disgrace. What a waste of the defense and Demaryius Thomas and C.J. Anderson. It's on John Elway, man. It's on John Elway. You know, the guy's a know-it-all with these quarterbacks. He's 0-3. Simeon sucks. Osweiler sucks. And Paxton Lynch is a bust. I think Kirk Cousins might be a Bronco next year. He has no choice. He's going to have to do something.
Well, plus, it's not like they were in a bad situation where, like, an Aaron Rodgers got hurt. I mean, they went out and got one of those quarterbacks and gave up for him, and everyone thought that was a bad move, and it was. And then I thought Deshaun Watson was the steal of the century in the draft, and it amazes me how people overthink things. You know, a guy in the same conference goes second overall from North Carolina to the Bears, and Watson goes later in that round, and he's been fantastic.
Not to mention Nick Saban. Nick Saban, of course, played against Deshaun Watson in two straight national championship games. Nick Saban said before the draft, he said, I see these quarterback rankings. He goes, these guys don't know what they're talking about. He's like, Deshaun Watson is the best quarterback I ever played against. Nick Saban, that's from Nick Saban. But like you said, oh, they got to overthink things. Kansas City Chiefs trade up to get Mahomes. Yeah. You know, it's funny how it works. All right. So Kevin Harvick cashes his ticket. You and I have been talking about how the NFL sucks. NASCAR, this is setting up beautifully. We got one race left, Steve. There's one spot. Three drivers have punched their ticket. But this final at Homestead 2 weeks from now is going to be awesome because of the high caliber of drivers that we have that have already punched their ticket into the final. Kevin Harvick wins Texas, so he's in. Martin Truex is in due to points. Kyle Busch is in due to the win. So those three have locked in the final four spots. There's one race left at Phoenix with one spot to get in. If it ended today, Keselowski would be the fourth guy in. But it's going to be a pretty epic next couple of races in NASCAR.
Yeah, and Harvick's obviously been dominant at Phoenix over the years, so everyone kind of thought, you know, he was in a good spot going into Phoenix, but now he doesn't have to worry at all because he passed Martin Truex with 10 laps to go to get the win. Truex is in regardless, as you said, because he's more than 60 points up for this last race. And Keselowski's about, I think, 19 over the cutoff line. And then Ryan Blaney, Hamlin's 19 behind. Ryan Blaney's 22 behind. So Hamlin or Blaney could catch up if Keselowski has a bad day. But Chase Elliott and Jimmy Johnson both have to win the race this week at Phoenix. And they're teammates, you know. And it, once again, that team has not been as strong as they've been in years past, Hendrick Motorsports.
Not to mention the most dominant guy in Phoenix is Kevin Harvick.
Right, and he's got nothing to lose. Now,
exactly.
By the way, in case I forget to say it Friday, I'd be very careful with Brad Keselowski on a win ticket, because he just kind of has to finish top 10 or 15 to get in.
And I can't wait to see the readjusted odds. And as much as we like Truex, Steve said, you know what? It's not really worth betting the future because it's going to be reshuffled. It's a winner-take-all in the final race. college basketball tips off on Friday. We'll talk some picks, get some picks ready. Steve, for Friday, it's always a pleasure.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill with us, Jason Braddock. We've got Paul Bovey. We've got a ton of more football talk, basketball talk, and a lot of picks and props coming up next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. This segment is powered by Dolbert.Games. Fantasy sports just got a lot easier to play and win with the hottest new games by Dolbert.Games. No more long lineups or complicated salary caps. You just make any combination of matchups you want. Play quarterbacks, receivers, across multiple sports. Pick three matchups to win cash prizes. Use promo code PUNT to enter a free contest with cash prizes just for joining. So go to Dolbert.Games, promo code PUNT. You're going to get in a free contest. You can win cash fast and easy at Dolbert.Games. Sign up now at Dolbert.Games. And it's unlike other DFS websites. You're not playing against thousands of people or hundreds of thousands of people. It's just over-under points. So, you know, quarterback over-under 16.5 points. Do you like the over? Do you like the under? Running back over-under 14.5 fantasy points, over-under, etc. They set an over-under for various players in different sports as well. And it's cool. You can mix and match different sports. So you can play NBA, NFL tonight. And you just got to pick three matchups correctly. You get paid 6-1 over at Dolbert.Games. Let's bring in Jason Braddock right now to talk about the Houston Texans and their games. Jason, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I appreciate y'all having me on today, Gabe, as always.
Well, Jason, let's get right down to business here. The Houston Texans just lost to a 2-6 football team who, without Andrew Luck and their best defensive player, Avante Davis, Jacoby Brissett threw for 308 yards. T.Y. Hilton went up and down the field after drinking Pedialyte in the room before the game. Tom Savage, 19-44, averaged 5 yards per pass attempt. J.J. Watt's hurt. Deshaun Watson's out for the year. They traded Dwayne Brown. You know, the owner's a jackass. The players hate the owner. And it seems like you got a pretty mediocre coach on your hands. Other than that, I guess everything's great, right?
Yeah, par for the course. Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of things they have to write on this ship over the second half of the season to have any opportunity in the AFC South. But being 2 games behind Jacksonville and 2 games behind Tennessee with the loss to Jacksonville week one, and like you mentioned, the Dwayne Brown trade, it would have been interesting to see if the Deshaun Watson injury happened before the trade deadline, because you need a Dwayne Brown-type left tackle when you have a guy like Tom Savage. The Texans don't have any tackles right now, but Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson, they were able to mask the poorness of that offensive line, but you can't do that when you have your typical pocket-style quarterback. And that's why I'm sure evidently we're going to get to the name that a lot of people are going to throw out there. That's why a guy like Colin Kaepernick would have made so much sense, because he has a similar skill set and style to Deshaun Watson, so he could mask and cover up some of the offensive line issues. Now, by no means am I saying Colin Kaepernick is anywhere close to the same realm of the athlete and player that Deshaun Watson is, but the skill set could still mask some of the flaws on this team.
Yeah, it's a good point, and I don't know if it's too little, too late right now. It might be a sign of desperation for Bill O'Brien, yet I remember talking with you last year, and you know, I know there's no love lost between you and O'Brien. You've been at the press conferences. You guys have gotten into it over the years. But I remember last year, it was going into the playoffs. Didn't McNair pull O'Brien aside and tell him, listen, for the amount of talent that we have and we've given you everything that you've ever asked for on a yearly basis, we think we should be better than 9-7 every year. And I got to tell you, it doesn't look like 9-7 is going to be attainable this year the way things are going. And I don't know if they want to use Deshaun Watson as an excuse. I don't see how O'Brien can use Deshaun Watson as an excuse when Bill O'Brien didn't even want to start Deshaun Watson in the first place. And J.J. Watt, it's almost one of these deals, shoulda, coulda, woulda, didn't. But, you know, this is the fourth year right now, and we just seem to be banging our heads against the wall. I almost feel with J.J. Watt out right now, with Deshaun out right now, that it's almost a tie moving forward. I'm not saying fire O'Brien right now, play the string out. But if I'm the Houston Texans ownership group, I'm seriously considering a replacement to move forward with my young star quarterback, because I don't think Bill O'Brien's the guy to take this team to the next level.
Yeah, winning heals all wounds. So when you have Deshaun Watson come in to a system and to an organization and over the last five games average almost 40 points. I don't know if a lot of people realize that, but Deshaun Watson's last five games, which I believe were the second through sixth starts of his whole NFL career, this guy was averaging 39 points a game over those last five games. It's insane. I've never seen any player come in and do what he's done, especially a rookie quarterback. Then also, here's another thing I'll throw out to you, Gabe. Since 1970, only four quarterbacks have had a touchdown percent of 8.5% or higher. All four of them were Hall of Famers. Peyton Manning with a 9.9. He did it once in one season. Ken Stabler with a 9.3. He did it once. Aaron Rodgers in 2011 with, I believe, a 9 point something, and then Tom Brady had an 8.7 or an 8.5. So all four of them are Hall of Famers. Their best career in touchdown percent, they did it one time. Deshaun Watson has a 9.3 touchdown percent in his rookie season, something that only four Hall of Famers have done since 1970 and no other quarterback, and he did it as a rookie. So the kid is special. So to your point, if you're saving Bill O'Brien's job because of how great the offense looked with Deshaun Watson, well, that's Deshaun Watson. Now, I'll give Bill O'Brien some credit. They've done some creative things and mixed in some elements, but to your point, I don't think there's too many coaches out there that can't get out of Deshaun Watson what we've already seen from him. I mean, you've got two starting receivers that have combined for 15 touchdowns. There's talent here, but I agree with you. I don't think Bill O'Brien's the guy to lead Deshaun Watson in his future here in Houston.
You know, some people have brought Dabo Sweeney's name up. Dabo is 100% a college guy.
100%.
You know, he's not, he's not a scheme guy. He's not an NFL guy. He's not an administrative guy. He's a college, religious, rah-rah guy who, if he leaves Clemson, he's going to Tuscaloosa. And, you know, I think he's just sort of waiting this out, actually, and Saban's not going anywhere anytime soon. But, you know, Kyle Turley is a buddy of mine, and we got to get him on the show, man. I haven't spoken to him in a little while. But Kyle Turley told me something when he was on the Saints, and Ditka was the coach. You know, remember they were like 0-10 at one point or whatever? And they totally quit. And he told me that NFL players say at a certain point, and they hated Tom Benson. And he told me at a certain point in time, if things are going bad, an NFL player will say for who and for what. And I ask you this, I mean, it's very dysfunctional with the Texans right now. You know, I know Dwayne Brown was very upset about the inmate comment. Now he's gone. Hopkins is pissed. I wasn't in the room, but from what I hear, McNair didn't make it better. He made it worse with his comments. You know that everyone thinks O'Brien's an idiot. I mean, at some point, and they're playing the Rams this week, they're 11-point underdogs. They get punched in the mouth here. At some point, the wheels really could fall off, and the Texans could quit and start saying, for who and for what, as we saw with the New York Giants yesterday.
Yeah, I'm going to steal that from you, Gabe. That's a great quote, to who and for what. And I could actually see that taking place in this Texans locker room, not only with McNair, but I will say this. The players have come out and said Bill O'Brien has been the perfect players coach for him during this whole time. He's had their back during all of it. So, I've dug on that just to see if that was face value stuff. And all the players I talked to, they cling to it. They say that he
was just
really
because
there
they don't blame him, just because they, you know, the players, and you're right, Bill O'Brien supposedly did a great job about that, sort of taking the player's side, saying, I know, guys, hey, I get it. But it doesn't mean that the players are still happy. I mean, you know, their checks are clearing, but there's a problem here in the NFL as a whole. And now Mark Cuban brings up this ownership thing. And that's what caught my eye about it when he said the inmates. The fact is, I don't know, Jason, if you are splitting the revenue sharing in a collective bargaining agreement, There are no inmates. You're partners. Like, I don't look at NFL players like employees. And I get what Draymond Green was saying, but there's definitely an undercurrent with McNair here and the players that maybe O'Brien isn't part of, but it still leads to a lot of negativity where people are saying, what, I'm going to break my leg for this racist old guy? Screw him.
No, I mean, it's all valid points. And to your point, to add a little bit more validity to it, early on in Bill O'Brien's stay here as a head coach, he brought in this college environment, atmosphere, and everything else, kind of to the point you were talking about Dabo Swinney being a college coach. But even obviously Bill O'Brien's an NFL coach or some sort of assistant in his future. But you still come from that college era, and you have to overcome the number one, the hardest thing for Bill O'Brien to overcome is the media. Where in college at Happy Valley, you can sit there and you can strong arm him and keep any story from getting out. Well, you're in Houston, Texas, fourth largest city in America. Yeah, if something gets out, he pouts and he gets upset, and you see him get into his emotions. Even yesterday, he had a blow up. They've been showing on TV and running on radio, running on the post game down here, where he said he doesn't want to hear a thing about clock management. And I'm like, well, that's too bad, because with 37 seconds left, you completed a ball down there inside the red zone and wasted 20 seconds instead of using your last timeout, which you didn't use until this clock was stopped with 2 seconds left to draw up the last play.
They're never accountable.
And he continuously did that. He cost the Texans the New England game. He cost the Texans the Seahawks game. And now he cost the Texans this game at home against the Indianapolis Colts, against Jacoby Brissett, who, if you remember, is 2-0 against the Bill O'Brien Texans. Jacoby Brissett, 2-0 against the Texans.
Jason, we got to get out of here, but I'm sure you're going to have a very interesting show today. What time are you on at?
3-6 Central Time down here at the Bottom Line with former Houston Oilers and Super Bowl champ with the Green Bay Packers, Sean Jones, Adam Clanton, and myself. 3-6 on Sports Talk 790 in Houston. It's the Bottom Line.
Hey, ask Sean about for who and for what. He'll get a laugh out of it. I guarantee. He'll know all about it. He'll go, oh, yeah, I know that.
He has some choice words for Jerry Glanville, so I'm sure he'll know exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly. You say, screw this guy in a cowboy hat. You're a clown. Absolutely. All right, we got to get out of here. Thanks for the time, man.
All right, take care.
There's Jason Braddock with his Paul Bovey. He's going to join us next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. The show has just flown by today. Let's bring in Paul Bovey, one of the hottest cappers in the game right now. VegasInsider.com, NBA in full swing, NFL football, college basketball tips off on Friday, guys. Looking forward to that. Let's bring in Paul right now, who I believe back home in Los Angeles, back in California.
I'm back here. I don't know how long for, but right now, yeah, back in sunny Southern California. It's a pleasure.
I know. I figured you might be in Fort Lauderdale. You got your Canes t-shirt on there. You're on the Canes bandwagon now. Catholics and convicts this weekend.
Yeah, it was the only one that was clean, Dave. So, you
know. I've been there. People, I often wear different sports teams. I'm in elevators. People ask me, are you a fan? And I tell them it was clean. You know, it's like... All right, Dub. Like, I'm a Bills fan. I'm a Michigan fan. I can wear a UNLV jersey. I can wear SDSU. I wouldn't wear Michigan State or Ohio State. Are there any teams that you wouldn't be, there's no way you're like, nah, I'm not wearing that? Like, are there any schools or teams that you wouldn't be caught dead wearing?
After Friday night, I would not wear my alumni shirt for FAU. What can I say? That was horrendous and inexcusable, and they should probably fire the guy. I don't know where he justifies doing that and then coming out and tweeting about it.
You know what? That he tweeted about it is one thing, but the fact that he put hashtag kept you watching, yeah, that leaves a bad taste in my mouth. That Lane Kiffin, if you guys don't know, FAU were going to cover the point spread. He was worried about getting a punt blocked or returned. So he took a safety. He took a safety, and then they didn't cover the number. So they were covering. Suddenly they weren't anymore because of the safety. And then he tweeted after the game, stating, I did that deliberately, hashtag rat poison, kept you watching, which left a bad taste. I've never seen a college football coach tweet about a point spread after a game before. Have you?
I think it's scandalous. I think it's an embarrassment, and I think the guy should get fired, but I'm sure he has a contract in place, and they're not the type of university to eat it, so he'll be there. But he certainly lost a lot of respect from myself and from a lot of other I think not only gamblers, but people, just the fact that he would recognize that, all right, I've seen it done without intention or seemingly so, but to come
You're
out,
right, Paul. You know what a normal coach says then? I don't know about the point spread, and I don't care about the point spread. I'm thinking about my football team and what's best for my team at that moment. Not, yeah, I knew exactly what the spread was, LOL, kept you watching. You know, and then you're just giving a big, hey, F you to everyone to bet on the game. And as you stated, what about the alums? What about the boosters? You know, Lane Kiffin's driving around in free cars from the local car dealer because they expect you to cover the damn point spread.
You know, I had actually bet him the week prior against Western Kentucky, so I feel fortunate that I didn't have my money down on the game. And I thought about it. I figured they'd win. I thought the spread was a little bit on the high side, and I laid off, and thankfully I did. But, hey, it's football. We got to bounce back, and screw Lane Kiffin.
Hey, at the SBR, IFBC in Costa Rica, one of the futures I gave was FAU over 4.5. Yeah, it was way too low. Yeah, 4.5 season win total. All right, Lions-Packers. I want to get some NBA and some college football with you, but Lions-Packers tonight. Not the most glamorous game. Lions are 1-25 straight up, last 26 at Lambeau. Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers evidently played every game except one of them. Seneca Wallace started that other one. The Lions moved the ball versus the Steelers, but they couldn't punch it in. Prater kicked 5 field goals. Brett Hundley gets the start once again, coming off the bye week. It's an ugly football game, and it's going to be freezing temperatures tonight. Not windy, but it will be cold. It's nighttime, so it's not going to be a nice night at Lambeau tonight. What do you make of this game?
Well, temperature's not going to be a factor. It's freezing, yes, 3-mile-an-hour winds, as you say. So let's put that aside for a second, and let's look at the Detroit Lions in their road record. Their road record this year offensively has not been very impressive. 946 total yards, and 200 of those came when they were losing 45-10, getting blown out by the New Orleans Saints. I don't have a lot of faith in this team on the road, and their pass defense, they've been exploited at times. Cam, Matt Ryan, Breeze, Ben Roethlisberger, those four quarterbacks combined for 68%, well over 1,200 yards, even though Breeze only threw for a 186. I'm not saying Brett Hundley is in this caliber of quarterback in that category, but what I am saying is the Lions can be exploited. They're on the road, and you have Morgan Burnett, who's a clear leader on their defense, their quarterback of the secondary. He is back in the lineup. He's been out since November 8th. I think the Lions are up against it. Their running game, 3.7 for Abdullah with a 34-yard breakaway run in there, is nothing either. So you're relying on Matt Stafford to win this football game on the road. I'm not going to buy into that.
I know it's tough. And as I mentioned, they're 1-25, the last 26 trips to Green Bay. You know, it's interesting because, as you mentioned, Detroit can be exploded through the air. They give up 7.9 yards per pass attempt, which is among the league's worst. But they're kind of stingy against the run at 3.6. So we'll see if Hundley's able to take advantage of that. You know, they'd like to lean on Aaron Jones this evening, but we saw the Lions do a nice job corralling and containing Le'Veon Bell last week. Aaron Jones' prop is 74.5 rushing yards. Brett Hundley's 195 and a half rushing yards. Golden Tate, 5.5 receptions. He's got more than 5.5 balls in 4 of the 7 games and 5 in the other in 3 of the last 4. feels a little high, but he's almost automatic with this. Stafford targets him like 8, 9, 10 times a football game. So I am intrigued by the tape prop. Devontae Adams, 4.5. I don't know, man. Is Huntley going to be able to get him the football? I don't know. Have you taken a look at any props?
Well, Gabe, we've had this discussion about receivers, and I never zero in on a receiver because you just don't know where the football is going, and that's problematic. You're sitting there, you got five, you get two early, and then he doesn't go back to him because he's double coverage or whatever reason. So I stay away from receiver props. Now, with respect to Huntley, it could be used as a correlated wager in certain respects because if you figure Green Bay to fall behind, certainly there's going to be more passing by Huntley. I think he can get this. He's off a bye week, and as we discussed, Detroit's secondary is very suspect. Detroit at 3-4, the only reason they are there is because they enjoy a 16-5 turnover deficit. So credit Stafford for taking care of the football with only four picks. It's one pick. But they've benefited by fumbles by the opposition as well as interceptions by the opposing quarterback. So I'm going to lay off the props here, Gabe. If I would go to any of them, I would go to Huntley. And you know I'm very passionate about these props, but it's just not one that I really favor here.
All right, Paul, fortunately, we've got a little less than 2 minutes right now. The marquee game tonight in the NBA is the Heat and the Warriors, 15.5. Totals come down to 224 right now. Nets and Suns, I cashed the over last week when they played. Totals at 234, though, right now. Celtics laying 8 against the Hawks right now. What's your take on the marquee one, Heat-Warriors? And I know you got an early play on college football that you've already put in right now that you're willing to share with us. So take us out. We got about a minute and a half here, Paul.
I don't have a play on Golden State because the number's too high, Gabe. I won't lay it at 15.5 because you don't do that in the NBA. It's garbage time. Teams give up points. They think about the next thing that night. So I'm laying off that game. As far as the Hawks and Celtics, look, the Hawks, they give up a lot of points. They come off a big win against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the Celtics, this winning streak has been driven by defense. They've held every team under 100 points. I think the game at 204.5, I think it should shade to the under. And as far as the Nets and Suns, it's all about pace. These teams, 198 shots last time. The shooting percentage wasn't even great, and they hit the number at 236, but it's just a little bit too hard for me.
College football, 30 seconds.
I'm into TCU this week. Gabe, they have a much better defense at Oklahoma. You look at common opponents versus K-State, for example. K-State rang up over 400 versus Oklahoma, quarterback 12 of 14 for 144 yards. Versus K-State, TCU let up 70 yards on the ground, 29 attempts, 11 of 29 for a 146 from the quarterback. You have a similar scenario against Texas where Oklahoma let up 22 carries, let up 110 yards. TCU, 31 yards, 12 carries. Defense wins football games.
I like where you go with that.
TCU, one loss this year, 14-7 versus Iowa State, driven by turnovers in the red zone. They only let up 250 yards, lost the football game. They are the better team, getting 7.5 points. Take it all day long.
All right, we'll come back with our plays of the day coming up next.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your
Fantasy Source.
All right, it's time for our plays of the day. We got to be quick. All right, this is a pretty crappy card, man. It's a rough card. This card's rougher than a Chelsea and Hillary Clinton family portrait. Lions minus two. Lions, 7-point teaser to the under. Golden State over 5.5. Theo Riddick over 35.5. I'm going straight to hell. Theo Riddick, combined yards 35.5. Long field goal over 44.5. Suns minus one. Nets Suns over 234. Heat plus 15.5. Heat Warriors over 224. Caps in regulation. Winnipeg Jets win. Other night, you're on your own, made a winner's be yours.